This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory.
Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm Levin Miller. Thank you so much for being with me this morning. Thank you so much for having me in your company. I don't really know what people do at 11 o'clock in the day, but wherever you are doing, let me say thank you for tuning in to Unleash here on Guardian Radio. You don't need to move your radio anywhere else. I told you already, you can actually just take the knob off of that thing because we've got good talk radio with fresh news and smart talk for you. And it's only happening here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Anyway, now that we've gotten that out of the way, let me say that I was so excited to run into Bishop Hall in the hallway there. In case you do not know, Bishop Hall is among my list of favorite people. I actually wait to see the day that someone like a Bishop Hall, I heard him said he's 72 years old, and if you consider the fact that we technically appoint governor generals right before the grave, right? I think Bishop Hall would be a wonderful governor general. Very much out of line with our common practice of only appointing politicians, or in the case of Her Excellency Dame Marguerite, politicians adjacent, right? Because she's not really a politician. But I think someone like of the likes of a Bishop Simeon Hall, he's regal, he's resplendent. I believe that he's polished. He certainly is waxed eloquent. His dissertation is above standard. I believe that his diction is impeccable. He would make a wonderful governor general, and his hair is all white. And we like people whose hair is all white in the Bahamas. That counts for something, right? So if for nothing else, he has all white hair. And I like him. I hope to have him on my show sometime. So when I see he's written a book, and so we'll possibly get together and we'll talk about that a little bit. That's not what I'm here to talk about today, though. I am here to talk about, and hopefully my guest will be here shortly, but I'm here to talk about the amendments to the Bail Act. I noticed among all of the confusion that has happened during the tenure that is this administration, all right, one of the things that I think has been noteworthy, one of the things that I think has been of some usefulness, one of the things that I think has been something that actually affects small people, right? Because I was thinking about the FNM and their tenure during this 4 years, and I thought about all of the memorable pieces of legislation that they would have enacted during their tenure, right? So there is the Commercial Enterprises Bill. I don't really see how that affects ordinary people. Then there is the banning of the plastics and plastic items. and I don't really see how that benefits ordinary people. Then there was the removing of the penny, and I don't really see how that benefits ordinary people. And I'm also trying to think about other pieces of legislation that would have come to bear during this four-year tenure. Of course, you know, we got the provision for the left turn. That was during, and these are all memorable pieces of legislation, legislation that will change the way we do business, legislation that shifts the culture in the Bahamas. But I couldn't really put my hand on a piece of legislation that meaningfully impacted the lives of ordinary people. And if you know, if you followed me any at all in social media, I am not of the opinion that this administration has not worked. I am not of the opinion that this administration was lazy or laissez-faire or that they didn't come to work every day. I am of the opinion, however, that they were uninspiring, unengaged, disconnected, seemingly out of touch, and lacking innovation. I think they showed up to work, but I'm not sure how much work they actually got done. So their name is on the roster every day, and they possibly don't take lunch this administration. But I don't know exactly how much of what it is that they've done has altered in any way the consciousness or the actual, wow, that's loud, or the actual goings-on in the lives of people. All right? And you may say that is unfair critique. It is the critique that I have for this administration. Notwithstanding that, though, I do believe that the amendment to the Bail Act was something that ordinary people with everyday challenges could have and see and feel and know that there was something that was amended for them. All right? If you remember, I had for a long time been an advocate for there to be an amendment to the amendment to the Bail Act. The Bail Act was amended, I think it was in 2007, under Hubert Ingraham. Of course, at that time, there was a proliferation of drug trafficking, et cetera, going on. And we really needed to get a hand on that. And so Mr. Ingraham, in his wisdom, thought it was necessary to pass legislation that would reduce the powers of the magistrate. And it was a multifaceted problem, right? Something that was multi-layered, multi-tiered. So the thought was that the proliferation of drugs in the Bahamas then led to an exacerbation in gang violence, and that led to an exorbitant amount of murders, right? And those murderers would then go before the court, and they would be able to plead not guilty, and in their not guilty plea, they would be granted bail. So in his attempt to fix a problem, I think Mr. Ingraham, somebody who I am also very much enamored by, is or has created another issue. What happened was we found a lot of young men that found themselves before the court either unrepresented or underrepresented, and they would go before the courts and give themselves criminal records, all in an attempt to avoid having to go to Fox Hill Prison, right? So many of them would go to jail for things like small possessions, and many of them would go to court for things like threats of debt or causing harm, depending on what happens, right? And causing harm isn't very difficult to pick up as a charge, right? You go by your girlfriend, she says something crazy to you, you slam the door, her finger get catch in the door. Because her finger have a blood bruise, she go to the police station, she tell the police she never had this blood bruise on her finger and that you caused it. The police don't pick up, don't do an ounce of investigation. They take her statement, they arrest you, you are now charged with causing harm, right? You get arrested for causing harm, and now when you go before the court, if you plead not guilty, well, now the power of the magistrate had been reduced to the point that the magistrate could not grant you bail in this instance, and you had to now go to Fox Hill Prison while you awaited a bail hearing in the Supreme Court, right? And what that then turned into was a massive backlog in the Supreme Court, so much so that Supreme Court justices would always decry the fact that the magistrate's court could not grant bail. A lot of them saw it as nothing more than abuse of judicial time. It wasn't judicious at all, actually, to have common matters ascend all the way to the Supreme Court for the sole purpose of granting bail, right? What also did come out of it, though, was there were massive opportunities for those in the legal profession, because as you would know, or you may be aware, to move a writ before the Supreme Court to apply for bail is something that can run anywhere between, I don't know, $1,800 and about $2,400. The average Bahamian, according to the central bank, doesn't have that amount of money on a bank account anywhere. So now you were talking about putting families in hardships, and we got to have cuckold because Pookie get locked up because he slammed his girlfriend finger in the door, and, you know, she was really mad at him because him and Shani been out together, and she ain't really mad at the finger slamming in the door. But you know what? Pookie's on his way to jail, and now we got to have cuckold for Pookie because we need to go and get him a bail hearing because, you know, as much as we don't think Pookie wait nothing, Pookie ma can't sleep in the nighttime because poor Pookie is in jail, right? So we see that while very well intended, Mr. Ingram's policy of the amendment to the Bail Act, I don't know if it garnered or if it arrived at the destination that he had anticipated it would. And so, at least under this administration, there has been an amendment to the Bail Act. And now, if you watch your TV, if you watch the news, you will see that there are now people that have been granted bail before the magistrate's court, rather, who have had charges of small possessions, et cetera, et cetera. And so I want to know, how do people feel about that? How do common, regular people that have found themselves before the court feel about that? I also want to know, how does that play in this whole route, if you will, towards the legalization of medical marijuana? I'll tell you why. It is interesting to me, curiously interesting, that the Prime Minister would suggest in any way that legislation is almost completed being drafted for the use of medical marijuana. Why is that curiously interesting to me? Let me tell you. While I may not be a legal mind, I have read the Dangerous Drugs Act, right? And according to that act, the Minister of Health, who doesn't necessarily need to be a doctor, has within his remit to grant persons to possess. That would then mean, in my mind, that the minister himself would only need to be satisfied, and I guess convince his cabinet colleagues, that a doctor or a dentist or, I guess, a veterinarian or some medical practitioner with the level of standard training would be capable to import it. And if the minister already has that power within his remit, then the question becomes, what legislation did you all draft? And is it then reasonable to assume that you all assume that the introduction of medical marijuana will lead to people that have in their possession marijuana that they ought not have, and so you all have now removed the Bail Act just to make sure that you all don't further clog the system with this new piece of cockeyed legislation that you all are intending or anticipating that you will draft? That is the thoughts that are in my mind. You could talk to me about it. We could talk about it. I have before me both the bail amendment to the amendment to the Bail Act. I also have before me the Dangerous Drugs Act. And we could go through it. All right? My numbers are 323-623-2325, 4316, and 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. I see I got a call on the line. Let's take the call. Come on and call you on. Call it up. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Come on and call. Hello.
Good morning, Lehman. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful, man. You know, what is so good about this is that you can see that with your two eyes. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I think you've got a 20/20 vision. Mm-hmm. You know, this thing is so sensitive. And it's been brought to us now with this medicinal marijuana, okay? And here it is, we're going into the silly season of elections. Mm-hmm. Okay, we get 20,000 youth that is being garnered to go and register, okay? What are we doing? Making them feel as if you can smoke and then vote for us and stuff like that. But here it is. At a certain age in your life, that messes up your brain, you know.
Well, you know, actually, it is suggested that the use of marijuana before a certain point in your life can mess up your brain function. I think there's something called the occipital lobe. I think that's the name of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't develop until I think you're 28 or 30. And that technically you shouldn't put mind-altering drugs into a brain beneath the age of 30 because it may not fully develop.
And one more thing before I go. We're talking about this. There's some truth about this, okay? Mm-hmm. Can we handle the truth about it? Okay, there is a sitting MP, and also he is resigned from the cabinet, okay, that has sent his family away to come back to open up shop when this is passed.
I don't know if we could prove that, Gawler, can we?
No, I know this much. The truth behind it will be after the election. But after the election, we've got a God that will take us through it after that. Okay. He's going to take us through it too. Okay? But thanks for having me share.
Appreciate you. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can text me on 4224796. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think that the amendment to the Bail Act is a wonderful thing. I can't think about in my mind what would be the downside to the amendment to the Bail Act. I think that we ought to have done away with that practice of the magistrate's court not having the jurisdiction to grant bail. I don't know how we landed at that, but I think that actually did more harm than good. And I believe we found ourselves in a position where we created what I like to call, and I have no professional qualification to deem anyone anything, but I have dubbed them the hybrid criminal, right? And what is the hybrid criminal? The hybrid criminal is a guy that otherwise would have not found himself in Fox Hill Prison at any time. But notwithstanding that, we passed legislation that then made his actions indictable. And as a result or a consequence, he found himself in Fox Hill Prison among people that were actually criminals. And then he ended up in prison without the resources to be in prison. And then he became owing to criminals. And so when he came out on the street, he now had to pay a debt that he racked up while he was in prison, where he should have never been because he was not necessarily a criminal. And now we have what I like to call the hybrid criminal. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. We got a call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good.
Question. What changed since the DNA introduced the decriminalization and medical legalization of marijuana in 2017 as one of their policies? What changed since then?
What changed in what regard?
I noticed both the PLP and FNM are basically jumping on the same bandwagon, the same.
It's because they lack conviction, conscience, and ideology with regards to marijuana, and they understand that Bahamians practice popular or populist politics. It's a popular issue at this present time, as is the case of same-sex marriages at another time, as is the case of immigration at another time. And so, since this is the wave, I guess this is the wave that they intend to ride.
So basically, their advocacy is disingenuous at this point, then.
It may not be disingenuous. They could genuinely want to be popular. You follow me? And because this is a popular argument, genuinely, they want to now take a look at it because they believe it will make them popular. You cannot then say that would be disingenuous.
But it is. Because if you said it was bad in 2017, but it's good now, you're disingenuous. You're not serious about the actual advocacy of actually making this thing to a place where people are not getting locked up for a cigarette, so to speak, or it can be used for medicinal use. Mm-hmm. If it was bad then, it can't be good now, less than 5 years later.
Well, we make the decisions that we make based on where we sit or stand at the present time, and it is reasonable to
never change, though.
No, but it is reasonable to assume that I know something now that I didn't know 5 years ago that has altered my position. Is that not reasonable?
Like you said, because it's popular as a popular
topic.
That
is my assumption.
Well, that's the only thing I can see, because the topic is popular now. The reason they are actually jumping on the bandwagon.
Okay, appreciate you. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Let's take the call. Come on and call. You're on.
Hello.
How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Miller. How you doing?
Hey, Sparky.
Okay, good buddy. Okay, now let me ask you a question. When I was growing up, my father was a bartender, Battle Robinson Bar, practically all his life.
Mm-hmm.
selling alcohol beverages to alcoholics, I guess. Chocolates, whatever it is. I'm selling cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Those have been proven to cause more harm in the human body than any marijuana could ever cause. Mm-hmm. From what I've been told. I'm 69 years old. Now, those two other drugs, I call them drugs, they are legal. Mm-hmm. And big companies around here making a bunch of money bringing in tobacco products, bringing in, or making alcohol in the Bahamas now. But I cannot choose whether I want to smoke or make a cookie or make a tea out of plant that God made. I heard the other day that a lady was given permission and given crown land to bring in seeds from Cuba to grow tobacco in the Bahamas. And we know tobacco with additives can cause lung cancer and many other kinds of cancers. Mm-hmm. Why are those legal and marijuana, which is a plant given to us by God, is illegal? What causes one to be legal and one to be illegal? And shouldn't I, as an adult, have the right to choose where I drink and smoke?
You're absolutely correct, Sparky, but man drafts legislation. And we never know the mind of a man when they draft legislation. I often ask this question. How is it that if my vehicle is missing a windshield or a rear windshield or a side glass, my vehicle is considered by the road traffic department to be an unfit vehicle or an unroadworthy vehicle, and I can actually be fixed penaltied for driving a defective vehicle, yeah? However, I used to drive a Honda Del Sol. If you know anything about the Del Sol, the entire roof comes off of it. You can take it off and put it into the back trunk of the car. What is interesting to me is if I were to get in an accident in that little car, I will probably end up on the roof, right? Yet, the car company has decided that I could detach the roof of the car and that not be considered defective. But if I decided to take the windshield out of that very same car that I could take the roof off of, it would then be considered defective. Can I suffer more damage as the driver or passenger of this vehicle with a missing roof than I can with a missing windshield? I would argue, yes, I can. Then how would you justify that the roof being missing from this very small, very high-powered vehicle not being a greater threat to my safety and the safety of the public than if I were to take out the windshield? Again, Sparky, we don't know how men legislate things, but they legislate them. And it's all in keeping with what is called or deemed a good and lawful society. They make the rules, and then, you know, you see how the rules affect human beings. And once you've seen that, then it is up to the lawmakers to amend those laws in the instances where those laws no longer serve the purpose. Again, slavery was once legal. Right? But we've seen that obviously needed amending, right? And so, as we evolve, Sparky, you say it may not happen in your lifetime. You're an old man now. But it may happen in my lifetime, right? And let me publicly say this. I do not support the legalization of marijuana in the Bahamas. I think it is redundant to do so. I don't think there is a need to draft legislation to legalize marijuana. I believe the Dangerous Drug Act, I think it's Section 24 of the Dangerous Drug Act, I have it right here, I'm going to read it, already suggests that the Minister of Health, in his office as minister, can grant whomever he desires, or whoever is a capable person, I think the law calls them, to possess marijuana. So, if that is the case, all right, it sounds to me, according in the law, the way the law is written, that that is entirely left up to the discretion of the minister. So all we need is a minister that doesn't like to practice pussyfooting who will grant some people the right to possess. I don't see the need for there to be a compendium of legislation drafted. I think it's kind of scatterbrained. 323-623-2323-254-316. 325-4259. You can text me 422-4796. Somebody here says, good day, Levin. You're absolutely correct. I was hoping that the people's time would bring more legislation that would benefit the masses. It's so sad. Good morning. What does this say? Good morning. I don't know if this is for me. Okay. Good morning. Just because something is legal don't mean everyone will participate in it. I don't disagree with that. Great show as usual. Question, is this topic today depends on what we respond to? What? Great show as usual. Is this topic today depending on what we respond to the topic? Will your cell phones be specifically monitored? I don't know. I don't know. Why do you think I would know that? I don't know. I don't know who monitors. I don't think anybody has. Well, the Americans say that they've been monitoring phone calls, but I don't know if they will monitor your phone number, text writer. I don't know. Great show as usual. Export item only food should be illegal. That's my 5 cents. Only, also any apple juice other than Mott's apple juice should also be illegal. Okay, I'm with you. 323-623-2325-431-6325-4259. Let me read a little bit of the Dangerous Drugs Act so that you know what it says, right? So that you know who has the power to possess and how they have the power to possess. Come back here, thing. It says right here, this is section 22. So let's read. Supply of dangerous drugs. Section 22 of the Dangerous Act says, it is an offense for a person to have a dangerous drug in his possession, whether lawful or not, with intent to supply it to another in contravention of the provision of this act. Subject to subsections 4 and 5, any person convicted of an offense under subsection 1 shall be liable. On conviction, on information, to a fine of $500 or to imprisonment for 30 years or both. On summary conviction, to a fine of $250,000 or to imprisonment for 5 years or both. For the purposes of subsection 1, where a person is found in possession of two or more packets containing dangerous drugs or a quantity of dangerous drugs in excess of such quantity as may be prescribed in regard to that drug, it shall be presumed until the contrary is proved that he was in possession of that drug with the intent to supply it, to another or others, irrespective of whether that other or others is within the Bahamas or elsewhere, where a person other than a child or young person is convicted or of having committed an offense under subsection 1, with the intent to supply a dangerous drug to a child or a young person, the person so convicted shall be liable. On conviction, on information, to a fine of $750,000 or to imprisonment of 40 years or both. So if you try to give dangerous drugs to a child, that is the penalty. On summary conviction, to a fine of $500,000 or to imprisonment for 5 years or both. Notwithstanding the jurisdiction to hear a charge against a child, to young persons conferred upon a juvenile court under Section 7 of the Children and Young Persons Administration of Justice Act, where a child or young person is charged under Section 1, subsection 1, with committing an offense with intent to supply a dangerous drug to another child or young person, the charge shall be heard by a magistrate who shall, if satisfied of the guilt of the child or young person so charged, order him to be committed to an industrial school or place of detention for a period not exceeding 5 years. Save as provided in subsection 5, the provisions of this section shall not in any way derogate from or limit the provision of the Children and Young Persons Administration of Justice Act. In this section, child, industrial school, place of detention, and young person, respectively, have the same meaning as in the Children and Young Persons Administration of Justice Act. Notwithstanding anything to the contrary in the foregoing provisions of this section, in any case in which a person is convicted of having committed an offense under subsection 1, and the quantity of dangerous drugs to which the charge relates is, in the case of Indian hemp, in excess of 10 pounds, in the case of cocaine, in excess of 2 pounds, or in the case of opium, morphine, and its salts, including, what is this, diacetylmorphine, commonly known as heroin, in excess of 20 grams. The provision of subsections 2A and 4A shall have effect as if for the respective maximum terms of imprisonment liable to be imposed thereunder, there were substituted a term of a life imprisonment. In this section, any reference to dangerous drugs includes a reference to any admixture containing any proportion of the dangerous drug. Section 23 says, subject to any rules made under Section 10 of this for the time being in force, it shall not be lawful for any person to supply or offer to supply a dangerous drug to another. Subject to the provisions of this act, it is an offense for a person to supply or offer to supply a dangerous drug to another in contravention of subsection 1. To be concerned in the supplying of dangerous drugs in contravention to subsection 1, or to be concerned in making in contravention of subsection 1 an offer to supply a dangerous drug. Section 24. Subject to the provisions of this act, a qualified person is authorized so far, and this is where I think that you could kind of throw away the whole, we are now almost wrapping up the drafting of legislation. Section 24, the Dangerous Drug Act, that already exists. Here's what it says. Subject to the provisions of this act, a qualified person is authorized so far as may be necessary for the practice or exercise of his profession, function, employment, and in his capacity as such to be in possession of and to supply a dangerous drug. Every dangerous drug in the actual custody of a qualified person authorized by subsection 1 shall, except when the necessities of the practice or exercise of his profession, function, or employment by virtue of which that person is so authorized otherwise required, be kept in a locked receptacle which can be opened only by him or by some other person authorized by this act in possession of the dangerous drug. So it says right here, section 24, that anybody who is qualified, I guess a doctor or a practitioner or any, could possess with the intent to supply the dangerous drug. So I don't really know why you'd need new legislation. And then it goes on further on in the act to then tell you about the powers of the minister. I'll get to that next. Let's take this call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there? Is the caller there? 323-623-323-254-259. You can give me a call back. It says here, hi, sir. Question. Who has the oil drilling video that clearly shows the Bahamas don't have commercial quantities? I don't know. I don't know who have it. I think it was just a press release made by the company. Are you aware that if you scrape off the inside of a ripe banana skin, dry it, and smoke it, you will get the same effect? No, because I've never scraped the inside of a dry banana skin. I'm not really sure why you scraped the inside of a dry banana skin, but I don't make it a practice going around smoking the inside of dry banana skins. I want you all to kind of stop that stuff as well. Like, you know, like, don't just smoke anything. Smoking is not, you know, the healthiest recreational pastime, but I imagine smoking the inside of dried banana skins is possibly a little worse. I'm not sure. 323-623-2254-316-325-4259. I'm actually trying to look for the provision where the minister can grant two people under his power, etc., etc., etc. That's what I'm trying to find in the act. But you can give me a call. 323-623-2254-316-325-4259. Text right here says, bananas just gone up. Well, I guess. I don't know. I do not. Please let me say it here again. On air, live for you to hear. Levin Miller does not condone the smoking of dry banana skins, moist banana skins, yellow ones, green ones, brown ones. Just don't do it. It just doesn't sound like something that makes sense to me. Another text right here says, the problem, Levin, is that currently the minister has discretion to allow the use of marijuana. Why do you want politicians to determine who can use drugs? Isn't it better? Dare I say more transparent to allow it open to all and sundry, leave discretion out of it. Also, you are being duplicitous. You say you are opposed to full-scale legalization, yet you are comfy with the existing laws, it make that makes it, as you say, legal. Well, I don't know if I am duplicitous, right? I think it is unnecessary to draft, again, a compendium of legislation for something that, according to the law, is technically not illegal. It is simply illegal to possess. So, to my mind, I think you would only need to reclassify in the law marijuana, which would then fix the problem that you have and would take the discretion from being so tightly held by the Minister of Health. I don't see the need for there to be new legislation. Maybe an amendment, sure. Maybe a reclassification, which is what I've always advocated for. Just simply reclassify the drug. That way you make the possession of the drug without the proper protocols illegal rather than the thing itself. You know, it's kind of like I own a gun, but I can carry my gun because I have a permit to carry it. And this all plays into my concept that we, the Bahamas, are somewhere where people come to frolic, ought to by this time introduce a sin industry, and that sin industry can largely be fueled by marijuana. And people that want to smoke marijuana could pay $1,000 or $1,200 a year to have a sin consumption card, and that sin consumption card would then lead to them being able to, man, smoke marijuana till you fall down if you want to. I don't care, right? But I just think that I ought to get a little something for the kiddie out of the deal. That's all I said. 323-623-3254-316-325-4259. Let's take the call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm calling you from France.
Hi, France.
I'm listening to you on a Google radio garden, and I just happened to fall on your... Oh, I'm going to go in the other room because I'm getting an echo.
Sure, no problem. I could wait on you. You call in from France.
Yes, I'm calling France. I tell you what, Watkins here.
Okay.
I was listening to some of the comments, first of all, the silly ones about smoking banana peels.
Do not smoke banana peels.
It's 100% organic, so if you don't want to smoke it, smoke it.
I don't know. Sure.
I don't think you'll die from it, but it's kind of, you know, if somebody wants to smoke a banana, let him smoke a banana.
Okay. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
sure. I'm getting an echo. I can hear it, and I have a feedback because I guess it's.
Well, you sound clear on my side. I don't know. I don't know what you sound like to you, but you sound perfectly clear to me.
No, okay. Now I can hear. I couldn't hear you. I was hearing myself on the feedback from the computer. So.
Okay.
I was listening to your point about where you said you didn't think it was necessary to change the law because it was, you know, the minister has discretion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think for any law it should be, the discretion should be in the hands of an individual because the minister will change. But if you create a law, then you have something that's permanent that remains.
Sure.
So I think that in the Bahamas we are a bit behind without leaving things at the discretion of the minister or the discretion of this one and that one. So it becomes politics instead of actually becoming law per se.
Sure, and I hear that. I can hear that argument. My counter argument to that though is the Prime Minister has made utterances that they are in the process of completing legislation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no need to draft new legislation. The act already gives you the power. You would simply need to make a small amendment to the act that already exists, and then da da da. You'd be able to do with marijuana what you feel like. You follow me? So I think that is politics.
I see from your point of view, but I think that it can be probably an amendment would probably be best. But I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know.
I'm not a lawyer.
And I guess, the Prime Minister is not a lawyer this time, but, you know, most of our Prime Ministers and Ministers, et cetera, are all lawyers, so I guess that they would, you know.
It's just crazy to me, right? It's crazy to me that during these politically charged times, right? Politicians can get people to wave pom-poms for anything, right? So the Prime Minister says, he's going to go open a bridge, I think it was. I don't even know why he's talking about marijuana at this little bridge opening thing, right? But obviously, he needed something popular because his party was having bad press. So I guess, you know, he threw the whole, and by the way, we're going to legalize marijuana. Yay! You know the kind of way?
I haven't followed the whole thing, so I don't want to comment and get in on it.
Fine.
I don't know what
that's
the
fine.
Politics is behind it. But what I'm saying from a point of view of taking marijuana or legalization of marijuana or even immigration or giving people citizenship, et cetera, out of the hands of ministers is a good thing, because anything like that should be automatic and law and have rules and guidelines in place that are not political.
Sure, I could completely agree and get behind that. I don't have a difficulty with that either. All right, thank you. How is France? Is it bleaky there?
Well, it's kind of cold today, but we're actually on, it's almost curfew time. We're on lockdown. You know, been on lockdown
Don't say the word lockdown, because you might trigger
We've had the lockdown, and now we're having curfew, and then we have partial lockdown. So it's been going on for the whole year, since last year. So.
Okay. Well, listen, I want you to stay as safe as you can, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to say shout out to my peeps, huh? Vanessa, Erica, Lang, happy birthday, Marvin, my brother-in-law. So can I just say hi to all my Watkins family over in Nassau?
All right.
Okay.
All right, appreciate you. 323-623-2325-4316. It's kind of cool. People are listening to me in France. I feel like I want to parler français now, right? 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Text writer here says, why is there still no more talk on industrial hemp, which has no psychoactive effect but greater economic benefit than medical cannabis? I do not know. Miller, they should make gossiping and lying on people's name illegal. Things like that cause all types of ills, even death. Yet, they want to lock up the person whom is only smoking a joint. Who is the joint smoker hurting? Why exactly is he being locked up in the first place? What crime has he committed? He has committed the possession of a controlled substance. That's the crime. I think if someone smoked a banana peel, herring and echo would be the least of their worries. 323-623-2323. You know, I can't make this stuff up, right? 325-4316-325-4259. Let's take the call. Come on and call. You're on. Call it up.
Everyone,
hey.
When you opened up the show, you spoke about Seminole being becoming a governor general.
No. Let me make sure I say exactly what I said. I said I have always thought. This is Levin Miller has always thought.
Okay.
That someone like Bishop Hall would make a wonderful governor general. I think he'd be wonderful to watch and watch him perform his duties, and you know. I think he's always
but
been
because
quite
because of his rationale, I would think he would need to become president of the Christian Council first. That's just my opinion.
Wasn't he already? He was already. I think he was at some point the president of the Christian Council, and he's 72 now. I don't know if he wants the everyday ramblings of the council to deal with. Right? He wants to be governor general. He tie on a little blue rope and go read books to little children and host tea parties for diplomats and. I could see Bishop Hall doing that very well, you know. I can imagine the speech from the throne. I could just hear Bishop Hall saying, "My government." You know, there was a time in my life that when I saw Bishop Hall, I used to be in awe. Yeah, he's one of those people that had that effect on me. The Prime Minister's announcement of legalizing medical marijuana will give Bahamians the opportunity to access a new market by growing. Ha 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 ha. If you believe this, I got one bridge my daddy leave for me in his will that I won't sell you. It joins Nassau to another island. Don't mind, there's a big orange hotel there. You could just buy the bridge. And if you want to, you can move the bridge too. Don't worry about how the people will get to the other island. Listen to me. If you believe for a second that regular common Bahamians, or that the dope smoker now, the marijuana smoker now, is in any way going to be involved on any real material level with the industry that will be the marijuana industry in the Bahamas, my friend, matter of fact, I want to sell you both of the bridges because my daddy left them for me and they're mine. And I want you to have them so badly. You've got to be kidding me. One of my challenges, one of my difficulties with the legalization of marijuana in the Bahamas is the people that have tote the burden of illegally possessing marijuana will not be the people that benefit from it. And it will be the same people with all the money that looked down their noses at you all that will benefit from it. And then guess what? You all will now simply be consumers of theirs. How do I know it? Because you all consume every Jesus thing else from them. How many of you regular Bahamians have made any million of dollars during this pandemic? None? Good. Have distributors around here made millions of dollars? Some of them from the coffers of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas' treasury? Absolutely. So what makes you believe then, if you can't be a part of selling chips and biscuits, what make you believe that Pookie and Blacks from Old Angleston are somehow going to be shareholders in the marijuana industry? Man, you've listened. How about you buy both the bridges and I'll throw the hotel in for you? Deal? $150. I'll sell you the two bridges right now. My daddy leave them for me. They mine. You people believe anything. 323-622-3254-316-325-4259. This here says, we smoked cannabis in green and dried banana leaf in the 70s to the 90s. It's okay. Nothing of the peel is absurd. I guess. I'm not telling anybody to smoke a dry banana anything. Bleaching cream should also be illegal. Oh my goodness, what is this? Bleaching cream should also be illegal because you see how some of these women bleaching, look, I'm 100% sure they ain't reading the instructions properly. But listen, I don't know. I don't know what all should be illegal around here. The woman in France is FNM. It is obvious she don't follow the house because the new law will stay under the minister. Tell her, listen to the debate. Okay. We want to hear freedom of information, fixed elections, recall of MPs. Fixing the bus system. The country on slow. Let's fix these things before the economy open up. Miller, they keep passing bills that ain't important. People buy medical insurance, housing. They stop the food program and minister talking fool about drugs. It is stupid. Let's take the call. Come on and call you on. Call you there. Text right here says, morning, Levin. Marijuana gives you a false sense of this, a false sense. Deceiving one's mind. I think all drugs kind of do a little bit of mind deception. Hi, which law firm has the contract to draft the law, that law, and how much is it costing the taxpayers? I would imagine it's the Attorney General's office. Let's take the call. Come on and call it. You're on.
I'm talking to
you. Call it there?
Yes, hello. Yes.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
You're on.
Oh, I'm on, yes. I'm calling a reference to the Bail Act.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, I understand there are a number of persons. You said earlier that actually in prison or remand, I think there is my understanding. A lot of young men are on remand, waiting on a bail hearing from the Supreme Court, and they keep turning them around. Some of them have been there for months just to get a hearing to get bail.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just criminal. You know, I think they're taking away persons who haven't been convicted privileges for being free, and it's totally wrong. They need to address that issue in the Supreme Court. They keep talking about, oh, there's no justice in place. There's no judge in place to hear these hearings. And that's ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime,
well, the justices of the Supreme Court have long told them to stop sending these people here. But I mean, as there is now an amendment to the Bail Act, and I'm trying to get an attorney, a criminal lawyer tomorrow who should have been joining me today, but I think he's stuck in court, you know, fighting for freedom for men. And we'll discuss how people that are already in prison waiting bail, how they ought to go about it, and how does the amendment to the Bail Act affect them. That's something that I want to talk about. So I'm going to try to see if I can do that for you tomorrow.
Okay.
So tune in again tomorrow, and let's see if I'm able to come up with something.
I definitely will. Thank you very much.
All right. 323-622-3254-316-325-4259. A text right here says, Miller, you got to smoke some of the marijuana to vote minutes back in. Well, luckily, I don't smoke marijuana because as far as I am in my mind right now, I don't foresee me doing anything that would get Dr. Minutes back in. But leaving, the Prime Minister has encouraged more and more Bahamians with records of minor offenses to apply to have their record expunged, showing his commitment to improving the lives of many people as possible. Yes, and then the police have been going out there arresting. There was a man arrested and charged in the magistrate's court. I think it was last week or thereabout. This marijuana. I didn't even know. I think he had, what, two joints or something on him? It was the quantity of marijuana was so little. So I hear the Prime Minister. I'm saying I don't see I don't see maneuvers being made in the direction that I hear the prime minister's utterances going. So I'm not convinced. Levin, lawyers in the country have no work but drug cases. So you will see more poor lawyers. They will have nothing to do. Well, you know, lawyers could always find other legal things to do. Ask that shallow mind if he ever smoked weed. Who shallow mind? I don't know who you're talking about. Someone here says, hey, slap that monkey. Okay? Is it okay if I just say okay? I don't know. Anyway, I hear my music. That means my time is gone. You've been listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm Levin Miller. Thank you so much for staying with me. I'm Unleashed. I'm on your radio every weekday at 11. So join me. Because, I mean, what else are you going to listen to? We've got the best radio in town. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. They do it all day, so don't move. They got the news, and Warren McCartney is up next.
Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like...